WPHM now presents the Sunday morning worship services of our Savior Lutheran Church. The following program was recorded live at 8:30 a.m. from our Savior Lutheran Church located at 1029 6th Street in Port Huron. Following this broadcast, podcasts of today's service will be available for download by visiting the podcast page at WPHM.net or on the WPHM free mobile app. Now, here's this week's presentation of our Savior Lutheran Church.
Good morning. Welcome to our Savior Lutheran Church Sunday morning worship service. This is our second Sunday of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Service this day will include Holy Communion. And I have a very important announcement. Starting next Sunday, May 1st, our in-person worship is moving to 10 a.m. The radio broadcast will follow at 11 a.m. on WPHM 1380 AM radio. Our podcast is also available at www.wphm.net, podcast/Our Savior Lutheran. Today, our radio broadcast is sponsors are Stan and Patricia Arnett, in loving memory of Stan and Catherine Arnett. In spite of all we have heard and all we have seen, it is often hard to believe. Because it is hard to believe, we will invest ourselves in the Easter mystery for 50 days, a week of weeks. Because it is hard to believe, John the Evangelist will provide sign after sign, celebrating Jesus' victory over death. Because it is hard to believe, the risen Jesus will return to us again and again in the mystery of Holy Communion, inviting us to touch and taste his presence and offering us his peace.
Thank you, Jane. Please stand as we prepare our hearts for worship, remembering the waters of our baptism and what God has done for us therein. Alleluia! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia!
In the waters of holy baptism, we have passed over from death to life with Jesus Christ. And we are a new creation. For this saving mystery and for the water, let us bless God, who was, who is, and who is to come. We thank you, Almighty God, for the river of life, flowing freely from your throne, through the earth, through the city, through every living thing. You rescued Noah and his family from the flood. You opened wide the sea for the Israelites. And now in these waters, you flood us with mercy, and our sin is drowned forever. You open the gate of righteousness, and we pass safely through. In Jesus Christ, you calm and trouble the waters. You nourish us and enclose us in safety. You call us forth and you send us out in lush and barren places. You are with us. You have become our salvation. Now breathe upon these waters and awaken your church once more, O Lord. Claim us again as your beloved and holy people. Quench our thirst, cleanse our hearts, wipe away every tear. To you, our beginning and our end, our shepherd and our lamb, be honor, glory, praise, and thanksgiving, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose teaching is life, whose presence is sure, and whose love is endless.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to the one who welcomes us with an open heart. O God, our comforter,
Like lost sleep,
we have gone astray. We gaze upon abundance and see scarcity. We turn our faces away from injustice and oppression. We exploit the earth with our apathy and greed. Free us from our sin, gracious God. Listen when we call out to you for help. Lead us by your love to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. By the gift of grace in Christ Jesus, God makes you righteous. Receive with glad hearts the forgiveness of all your sins.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As we join together, if you know the song, to sing. Otherwise, opportunity to listen.
Thank you. that gets you going, doesn't it? The Lord be with you. Pray with me, please. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join and sing Holy, Holy, Holy as our hymn of praise.
Acknowledge those present today leading and assisting in worship. Our pastor this Sunday is Pastor Hank Flatt. I am Jane Born Traeger, and Hope Dorsbacher is on the soundboard this morning. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Peter has been arrested for proclaiming the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. His response to the charges of the high priest summarizes the early church's proclamation of forgiveness of sin through repentance. The reading begins. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet there you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Our psalm this day is Psalm 18, verses 14 through 29. The response antiphon is, "You are my God, and I will exalt you." The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. You are my God, and I will exalt you. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. You are my God, and I will exalt you. The stone that builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, our Lord, save us. We pray to you, Lord. Prosper our days. My God, you are my God, and I will exalt you. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and has given us light.
Form a procession with branches up to the corners of the altar. You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Our second reading this day is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. The book of Revelation recounts a mystical vision of the risen Christ experienced by a Christian prophet named John. Here he describes Christ as a timeless redeemer, the beginning, present, and end of all time. The reading begins. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priest serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears and wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter, continuing the resurrection story at verse 19. The unprecedented events of the day of resurrection continue as the risen Jesus appears to his faithful disciples. A week later, after Thomas worships Jesus, Jesus pronounces that the blessings of the resurrection are also for those who have not seen and yet believe. Excuse me. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples were met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples said and told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Well, a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And grace to and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the risen Son of the Almighty God. Amen. Peter, in our first lesson, having been arrested stands before the magistrate and he responds when asked about why and what he was doing. He says, well, we must obey God rather than obeying any human authority. I don't know if that would work in our American judicial system, unless you got a judge that was recognizing the power and the influence of God in our lives. But they're words that have been spoken and thought and felt and experienced since the very beginning of time. The biblical record is filled with individuals who chose to believe God and follow the Word of God instead of following the authority of the community or of others in power over them. I think of Noah. He had to be absolutely crazy, people thought, when God spoke to him and said, Noah, you're in the middle of nowhere, but there's going to be a flood, so build an ark. And Noah with his sons gathered together, and they cut and they hewn the wood, and they did exactly what needed to be done to build a boat, the specifications that the Spirit had whispered and put into Noah's heart and into his mind, so that the world itself flooded out and the sinful people lost, they would be safe, and every animal, with the exception of locusts, as far as I'm concerned, mosquitoes and roaches, could have missed the boat. But they must not have, because they're around today. I think of Abraham, who, living off the luxury of his father, and enjoying life down in the valley between the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers, one night in the middle of nowhere, God spoke, Abraham, follow my lead, and I will take you to a place you have never been before. And as you follow, I will make you the father of a great nation, as many as there are stars in the sky. Oh, and by the way, Sarah will get pregnant and have a baby. Foolish? Crazy? Maybe so. One of the popular Christian rock groups out today has a song called Crazy People. And it talks about how crazy people are to do the will of God in the world, and to believe, and to hope, and to love, and to invite, and to be the people that God calls forth to be a witness to Him. Or what about David? A little, maybe 13 or 14-year-old boy taking food out to his brothers on the battle lines against the Philistines, sees this giant of a man named Goliath, and somewhere inside of his spirit, David's faith leaps forth and says, we can take care of him. And with but a few stones and a slingshot, he goes up against the mighty Goliath, who has scared even the strongest and the bravest of King Saul's army. But he says, I'll do it. And Saul says, you're not big enough. With God, anything is possible. Okay. And off he goes, and he slays the giant. But that's not the only things he did in his life. God had promised him that he would bring the capital of Israel to the highest point in the land, Jerusalem. God had promised him that he would be known for the great buildings that he would erect in Jerusalem. Ah, but David was human. And so Nathan, a prophet, was called by God. And Nathan trusted and believed and walked up to David and said, "Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a man with a lamb." And Nathan looks at David and he says, "You're the guilty one because of your love for Bathsheba and the child she is bearing." And so David had to reckon with the fact that the promise of God was taken away from him, that he would not get to build the temple, but that instead, the house of God, he would build the capital and the palace. Beautiful buildings, even to this day when you walk through the streets of Jerusalem. I think of three boys who, in the midst of the Babylonian captivity, where the Babylonians came in and took all of the upper crust of Israelite society off to Babylon to enrich their own community and their own population. And then King Nebuchadnezzar erected a great giant. Perhaps you heard the story at an Easter vigil last weekend. But King Nebuchadnezzar erected a giant golden statue, and everyone in his kingdom had to bow down when the sound of the trumpet and the drums blared across the land. But these three men held strong. And it held so strong that someone told the king, and the king created the edict that anybody that doesn't bow down will be burned in the fiery furnace. And they were found guilty of not bowing down. In essence, saying the same words as Peter, I gotta trust and follow the word of God and not human authority. And into the fiery furnace they went, stoked even hotter than it ever had been. But when they looked in the window to see if they were all crispy critters, lo and behold, there they were sitting on chairs. And they were joined by a fourth man in there. And so taken aback and overwhelmed were the people and the king. They opened the door and the king bid them come out and asked who it was that was in there with them when there was only three men that were put in the fiery furnace. And as the king came to realize it was the Almighty God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bowed down and worshiped to, a new edict was dispersed throughout the land. Everyone will bow down and worship the Lord God Almighty. We have to obey the word of God instead, Peter says, of human authority. Ezra, Nehemiah, close to the end of your Old Testament, were called by God against great odds to go to Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonians and to rebuild and to build the city and to build the walls once again, that the city would be an ensign, a light for all to see the presence of the living God in the midst
of God's creation. We thank the Christmas story, Joseph and Mary trusting God and believing and holding on in faith, even when there had to be great grumbling and persecution among the family and among the community itself when they realized this young girl was pregnant. And she was betrothed to Joseph, and yet Joseph said, "She's my wife. I take her as my own because God has told me to do that." And thus Jesus was born. Paul, Peter, the disciples, all followed the word of God. In our gospel reading this morning, those men, they couldn't believe what the women had told them when they came and knocked on the door, "We have seen the Lord." Luke tells us that they thought it was just an idle tale told by ne'er-the-wells. And yet, Jesus comes through the wall and goes, "Ta-da! Peace be with you. It's me. It's a new world order." Paul wrote later on in his writings, "If anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We who are the church live in the new time of God over and over each and every day. We who trust God and believe God and follow the word of God are no longer bound by the human authority, so to speak, because we have a vision in our head, in our heart, of a new Jerusalem, as we hear in our second lesson, rising up in the glory and the power of Almighty God. And you who are the church, what's happened to us as the church? We live with the authority and the power and the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. The cross stands ever before us. We celebrated the greatest feast of our lives last weekend with Easter, proclaiming He is risen indeed. And yet how many left the church grumbling and mumbling and moaning and groaning? I know I heard from a friend how long the church service was last Sunday at his church. Hank, it went on for an hour and 15 minutes. And I said, "Well, that's hardly enough to get started." "Oh, shut up," he says. Our humanness oftentimes gets in the way, doesn't it? Gets in the way of who we are as God's people, of thinking as God's people, of loving as God's people, of being the first with a word of mercy and forgiveness for others around us instead of a word of judgment and ridicule, like so many others who live under human authority speak. What's happened to our witness of the mercy and the love of God, of welcoming and bringing in even the least of these, those who don't deserve it? How many of you last week called a friend, a neighbor, a relative, and said, "Come join me at church"? Or were you so self-reflecting that you forgot to do it? We who are the people are called by Christ to go out to the highways and the byways and to speak the words of Christ, "Come and see." Let me tell you about my Jesus, who forgives and loves even me. But our humanness gets in the way. We forget that each and every moment we take a breath, we need to be forgiven. We forget that each and every moment that we take a step across, we need to be loved. And we forget that when someone speaks an unkind word to us, we don't need to speak it back at him. God takes care of his own. But we need to be forgiving and loving and demonstrate and model Christ to the world. Luther said we need to be little Christ to all. And sometimes that even means putting ourselves in places that is uncomfortable, knowing that Jesus went to the most uncomfortable place of all for us, so that we could be here and remember the stories of our faith and bring others with us so they too can have their hearts changed and their lives renewed and maybe for the first time be introduced to a life of faith, or perhaps after years of not having it, to have that faith renewed once again. We don't know, as none of them that I mentioned know, what the future holds for any of us. But we know the one who holds our future. Christ. And he doesn't let us go. Obey God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we join and share the beautiful hymn of our faith, Amazing Grace.
Let us together affirm our faith using the words of the church's ancient creed known as the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to God the resurrection for the church, people in need, and of all creation. Holy One who acts righteously, equip your church as witnesses of your goodness to go and tell others of your abundant love, that they may believe that Jesus is our salvation and life. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Renew your people's commitment to use resources responsibly and to live well with your creation. Invite us to recognize and nurture signs of resurrection life in the natural world. God, in your mercy, direct those who are given human authority to lead with humility and compassion. Be your Holy Spirit channeled, by your Holy Spirit, channel their attention towards serving those who are most in need. God, in your mercy, uphold your children who cry out to you, especially Ray Shinosky, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Gordon Doty, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Beverly O'Connor, Harper Showmaker, Sandy Smith, Pastor Joyce Partika Stabe, Pastor Ken Stabe, and their son Mason. The family of Lauren Kirschkar with her recent passing. The family of Chuck Ramey with the passing of his wife Diane. And for anyone in quarantine, homebound, suffering with or recovering from COVID-19, those serving to protect our nation. And we give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for your healing power and prayers answered for Lois Langoff, her daughter-in-law Colleen, Gail McFarlane, and Leon Quader. Whenever people are overcome by the fear of death, breathe into them your life and peace. God, in your mercy, inspire those who lead your people in worship and praise. With joyful motion and sound, send us forth with praise that we cannot keep to ourselves. God, in your mercy, give us the words of your saints who, like Thomas, boldly confessed your Son as Lord and God. With Jesus our leader, empower us to live according to his ways. God, in your mercy, in your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Our offering hymn this morning is "This is the Feast of Victory for Our God." Some announcement this morning. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for their continued support through their tithes and offerings for the mission of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Once again, next Sunday, May 1st, in-person worship service time will change from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. We are trying something new in hopes to increase worship attendance and to help accommodate our guest pastors. And we invite all who are listening and hearing this service today, you all are invited to Our Savior Lutheran Church. We welcome all. On Mother's Day, Sunday, May 8th, worship service will include an anointing of hands with oil. Anyone who finds themselves in a nurturing, caregiving, mothering role, please join us. You are invited to attend the special service of honoring mothers. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed together in your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And so we come figuratively to the table of our God, where Jesus meets us and offers himself to us, for us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Oh, it is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name as we join and speak their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered together at our Lord's table, let us pray the prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.